Hey, welcome to Our Altered World. If you've been feeling overwhelmed by the giant that is climate change, you're not alone. I'm Neil, and here we celebrate the inspiring work of individuals and organizations making real positive strides that you may not have heard about. My hope is for our conversations here to make you feel inspired and reconnected to our planet. And with that being said, I would love to introduce Carly from Showercat.
Thank you, Neil.
Hi, Carly. I am so excited to talk with you today and introduce our listeners to Showercat. So I would love for you to tell our listeners a bit about yourself and how did you first become interested in tackling water waste and what inspired the creation of Showercat?
Yes, well, my background is not predominantly water. It is actually hospitality. So I spent 20 years working in the hotel industry for large brands. And in my role, one of those was very centered around obviously ESG, meeting our sustainability goals. And it was very prevalent that we needed to step this up to kind of meet the corporate contracts that we needed to bring into the hotels. So I actually was asked to become a corporate sustainability champion for two of the large chained hotels. And in this role, obviously, I had to look at meeting our goals, educating staff and guests as well on sustainable practices. And it made me very aware of the fact that we were using a huge amount of water. And there was a huge potential to change that. I've always been very passionate about sustainability. My dissertation when I was at university was actually about sustainable tourism in Banff National Park in Canada.
I love that. So, we talk about so much sustainable tourism on this show. So I love to hear that it's been really ingrained into you doing your dissertation on that.
I'm not going to say because it'll show how old I am. But yeah.
Age is wisdom, Carly. Age is wisdom.
So it's kind of come like around in a nice like full circle. So when I got approached by the founder, Steve Harding, and he discussed about Showercat and what he was trying to achieve, I really couldn't turn down the opportunity because I felt like I could actually achieve something that was actually bigger than myself. You know, I could actually make a difference. And obviously we know that it's a top global risk and we just want to help organisations reduce their usage and also help navigate and build a more water efficient and sustainable future.
Incredible. I love that. We're all about impact over here. So the name Showercat. Now, so many thoughts can spring to head when you're thinking of that. Okay. Now, for me, I already know about your organisation, but I would love for you to sum up your mission and approach to someone who's hearing about you guys for the first time.
Yeah. So our mission as a climate tech innovator, I would probably put us as, is to reduce water and energy use and obviously CO2 emissions. How we do this is through an innovative shower valve with a physical behavioral cue and sensors that kind of deliver detailed analytics for smart management. And we can do this via a cloud system and also through a mobile application for the individual users. And the purpose is to change people's relationship with water and empower both users and organizations to create that lasting impact for environment and ultimately for local communities as well.
Well, that sounds so exciting, but also a really big battle because the way that we look at our water usage, I feel like has not really been thought about. It's kind of been on the back burner for a lot of agencies, a lot of metrics, a lot of papers that I read. I mean, we talk about water a lot, particularly in white papers and policy, but the amount of action that goes into it, maybe it's not really at the forefront. Now, the Environment Agency in 2019, they said something about 20 to 25 years just for the UK from running out of water. Now we're about down to about 15 years or something. How does this timeline make your work at Showercat feel really urgent and necessary?
Yeah, we are lucky that we have a very driven and passionate team and committed team, and we definitely feel the timeline is a necessity. Unfortunately, we say that it's only 15 years, but it's actually not. It's a now problem, not a future one. And we need to kind of adopt and implement changes to not be in that day zero scenario, you know, where the day the taps run dry, basically. And
yeah, you don't want people to be like, oh, we should have done something about this. There's no water out my tap. It's like, well, we told you about 15 years ago.
Yes. We should be looking at like a short term. We look at the long term and how we need to kind of start now to make sure that we don't get in that position is where we need to look at. And we know that obviously it's in top five of environmental risks. And we know that carbon emissions are very highly linked to water. So if we can acknowledge that that's a driver, all we need to do is, yeah, reimagine our relationship, value water as a precious resource that it is. And that's where ShowerCap kind of comes in. We want to focus on the biggest consumers of water, one being hospitality. And then we're able to promote and engage a bigger audience and the importance of, you know, reducing our consumption. We know that obviously hospitality can use up to 8 times more than our local community. So we need to highlight again that interconnection between water consumption, the energy use, and our carbon emissions. And then if we do that, we can critically advance our net zero goals as well, reduce our water waste, and impact both energy and carbon reduction.
I think when it comes to, right, there is a big word that you just use, consumption, and it's just the awareness around that as well. So I was curious, as I was getting excited to talk to you today, I was like, okay, like how much water are we using on a daily basis? And I was shocked to find out that most people in the UK think we use around 50 to 60 litres of water. The reality is we're using over 320 litres of water. That's 5 times more. And then where does this massive disconnect? Because it happened to me, I'm in this industry and I can see that there's a disconnect. And for the everyday person, it must be an even wider disconnect. How does this disconnect impact our ability to address this scarcity issue that's occurring?
I don't think in the UK, we haven't learned the true value of water. And you've also got to think that water is exceptionally cheap for what it is. It, you know, it's a necessity, so it needs to be cheap and available. And it's no one's fault. It's just we can't picture how much we use if we don't have the resources and the means to actually measure it. And obviously in the UK, historically, we're not a really hot or water scarce country, or haven't been, and we're kind of seen as being a wet country, which obviously from recent years, we know that we're not. I mean, at the moment,
I know we're in a heat wave.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, and northeast are in a drought already. And having hose pipe bans implemented. And it's the sixth driest on record since, I think, 1863 or something, you know, along that line. So actually, it's that kind of, yeah, how you imagine how the UK is. We look at it and we go, oh, we're surrounded by water. In reality, only 1% of the Earth's water is actually possible and usable for us to use. So again, it's just having that means to actually know how much you're actually using. If you have a shower, if you say you're doing a 10-minute shower, you could easily use up to 150 litres of water. On average, I think we use about 140. So you've already gone over that average consumption for that day if you've had a 10-minute plus shower. That's not even taking into account flushing your toilet, using your dishwasher, using your washing machine, you know, yeah, nothing
else.
That's just
the shower. One
that
person,
just
one
the shower.
So you mentioned this figure, this 140, 150 litres of water. Doing the maths, that's saying we send around 2 billion of litres down the drain daily. This is water that we're just flushing down the drain, just from showers. How can we help the listener here, listening to this, show, understand the scale of this? What is the scale of this challenge? Because these are just arbitrary figures now that are just floating around their head. How can we put this into words that they can understand?
Okay, so currently we're looking at globally, not just the UK, just under 50% living in water scarcity. And that's increasing due to population, infrastructure that we need to implement to deal with the growing population as well. Relating it back to UK.
When we say water scarcity here between us, what does that mean to the day in person, day in, day out? When water scarcity is impacting their lives, what is happening to them?
Most recently, you'll probably be asked to reduce your water use by your water companies in the area. The reality of actually the groundwater that we have, that we hold, which is what we use most of our water for, is really low at the moment, is exceptionally low. And I think it's only literally 7% of our water we actually use from reservoirs. And I know that's in the plan, in the long-term plan for the UK, is to build more reservoirs. But you think about it, it takes 10 years. to build and to fill a reservoir. So that's why I was saying it's a problem for now. We need to kind of make sure that we reduce our consumption.
The irony that it also takes water to build a reservoir.
So yeah, it's just those little things like having to rethink the way that we use our water. Instead of going, right, do I really need to water my garden today? That's like a simple thing, you know, can it actually hold off? Do I need to wash my car with a hose or with a jet spray, which can use up to 500 litres just in that one act? Do you need to do that? Could you use a bucket instead, you know, bucket and sponge? It's just those little things so that you know that you're sustaining that water. Otherwise, we know that eventually that those hose pipes or even lack of pressure, you will probably notice it, that you'll see a low flow of water coming through, especially in the next coming months in the summer.
Amazing. Thank you so much for... Yes, no, it does. Thank you so much for that insight. We're going to take our first break to hear from our station sponsor, and we'll be back soon.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, welcome back to Our Altered World. I'm here with Carly from Showercap. Now, we just touched base around water scarcity and how it's going to affect the day in, day out lives of people in the UK with regard to what our water usage is like now and how it's going to impact if we make no changes really going forward. So, Carly, climate change and population growth, they are stretching water supplies thinner year on year. How does Showercap help businesses cut water use and their related carbon emissions?
Yeah. In regards to Showercap and our system, we use a unique water management system that looks at saving your water, your energy, which ultimately you use a lot to heat your water. So you've got to think about that as well, and your carbon emissions. And what it does, it shows full visibility of a building, of your water use, and it can look at safety, it can look at leaks, which saves valuable time as well. If you think about it, if you can see exactly where you're having issues in your building or where you've got a potential leak, you can go straight to it. It also offers that physical nudge, so that behavioural cue, which is optional, which promotes shorter showers, along with the behavioural change tool in our mobile application, which will save water and energy and address, obviously, our overconsumption of water. And as I was saying before, if by saving water, we're ultimately saving and reducing the energy we use and reducing the impact on the environment and also carbon dioxide emissions. Our main area that we're looking at doing is obviously doing that behavioural change, but in a positive way. So really to engage in a positive manner, how we can reduce our own consumption by seeing what effects we can have. It's also where we come back into the hotel situation. We can see that ultimately when we kind of travel or we go away, our consumption pattern changes. It's not what it's like when we're actually at home. We actually use a lot more. And we really need to kind of think about how we can implement what we do at home, also when we're traveling and when we're away, because again, we're impacting the local communities and we have to kind of take that into consideration.
Completely. I think it's something that eludes us more, these micro behavioural changes. You know, let's say you're away on holiday, you've gone somewhere hot and sunny. Yes, you're on a break and you want to relax, but then you think, okay, I'm going to go in the pool and then I'm going to wash off, or I'm going to wash off again before dinner or something like that. These multiple showers or multiple water uses that you may not be taking as you would on your day in, day out at home, you're affecting water internationally on a scale. There's millions and millions of people traveling year on year, month to month. I'm super fascinated to talk about this technology that you guys have patented, this patented Nexus technology, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yes.
So from what I've read, it gradually reduces water temperature and it stimulates water running out. Now, can you explain how this little nudge works without forcing people to change these behaviours that we've been speaking of?
Yeah, so you've got the option to set your fade time. So you can go in and you can say...
Sorry, just to jump back there, we've spoken about this this the way that people interact with your technology? How do they access that? Is it a panel on their wall? Is it on their phones? Where is this?
So it's on a mobile application. So they can, that you can download our mobile application, and then in there's an interactive tool. So you can interact with your with the ShareCap valve, and you can set a timer. But the recommended amount at the moment is between 4 to 6 minutes. So that's what they say. And actually, when you sit and you're having a shower, actually 4 minutes actually seems quite a long time when you're waiting for it to kind of go off. So we were saying, oh, it's like a 2 minute song, you know, two songs you can listen to and then, you know, turn off your shower. But what we do is we actually interact with the user. So you can set that timer and you can set that fade. And what it does is it just gently kind of reduces the temperature towards the end of the shower, just to prompt you, to remind you to leave and to create a shorter shower experience. With this,
is it kind of like a, oh, it's getting a bit colder, or oh, it's getting scalding?
No, it's getting slightly colder. So, I mean, it's only like a 5 degree shift. We, you know, even if we go to like 37 degrees, which is your body heat, that shift, you still feel like there's a small change, and it's enough to make you realize, oh yeah, I need to exit the shower.
Incredible.
So it's not an uncomfortable one, and that's not what we wanted to do. We wanted it to be an optional. You can put it in, you can see what you're doing, what you're achieving, and we wanted to gamify it so that it's fun and is interactive.
So you use these terms like gamifying, and then you've said like the shift between like even getting the water temperature to the same as your body temperature. Now, these are all behavioral science. Now, you guys have a three pillar system: Nexus, Marshall and Ripple, if I'm correct. Now, how does this combination of like engineering and behavioral science, how has this affected your design approach and the way that you've looked at ShowerCap as a whole?
Based on the principles of the behavioral science, we knew that forcing people to make those changes wouldn't work. We needed to give people the tools to actually choose to make better decisions. And it means that, you know, people are more likely to stick to those changes as well if we entered into that way of looking at how to do this. And then these principles were then eventually be embedded in our system and empower users and individuals to put those actions into plan. And that's part of the solution, you know, that wider kind of educational positive engagement. Dark reality is that there is really no technology at the moment that can keep up with the water at the moment, and there's nothing that can monitor it and do this behavioral change part as well and educate and engage. And we need kind of that, because we know that we haven't got an endless source of water, unfortunately, and we need to kind of change our mindset and shift our mindset so that we can obviously reduce that impact moving forward for future generations. And as I said, it's not, you know, not that far away in the future. So really, it's for us as well as our kids and our grandkids to change how we're kind of viewing the value.
Absolutely.
Of water.
On this one-on-one basis, on the direct-to-consumer front, yes, this is such a great way for us to actually visualize and see our water usage and really have more connectivity with that, which I completely agree is a really great way moving forward. Because as we start to see these figures and actually realize the scale of that impact, the more we can attribute our own changes to make accord for those. But when we're looking at the larger scale of things, we've spoken about, obviously, hotel accommodations and wider organizations use with water. As we've said, it's different. Now, your Marshall platform is the part that works with organizations, right? Now, this platform is providing real-time analytics to building managers about water usage, leaks, Legionella risks. How does this, the comprehensive side of that data, how is this getting organizations to change how they think about water management? And where do you hope this will go?
The automated side of our kind of solution, so this Marshall, which is a web app, web platform with analytics, this makes it easier to monitor and manage that water for a building. As I said before, we've never had the tools to really measure water in granular detail. And if we can't measure it, how can we monitor and change what we're using? So with that, with those kind of data now, you can see hidden insights that weren't there previously that you couldn't see. And it gives building managers then the tools to see metrics like volume, temperature and duration, so that we can deal with water safety as well, like Legionella. And then we can see what issues you have in your building, such as leaks, the safety alerts, simple things as well for health as well. Like if someone has a fall or someone has unfortunately become unconscious, then you can go and investigate as well. And before this kind of new technology, I'll say, it was a time consuming process, you know, of manual checks, of manually doing temperatures, of manually going around and reading all your water meters and everything like that. Whereas now you've got it kind of all at the tip of your fingers.
Incredible. So having this software and this incredible technology that you guys are working with, I've seen that you've partnered with the Sandman Signature London Gatwick Hotel. Now, this is your first major trial. What results are you seeing here? And how are guests responding to the technology?
It's still early days. Well, I see that. We started it in April. But obviously, we're still kind of doing more of the detailed research, but we can already see potential, the massive potential of the environmental benefits, not just for the hotel, but for guests as well, and delivering a more sustainable operation and leading that we can look at reducing it by about 30% already. And I think that we could probably even go even further. As I said, we're only in the early stages at the moment, so it can only go up, hopefully, and not down. But yeah, we're looking at already at the moment about 37,000 litres a week that we could potentially save.
Wow.
And then, yeah, about 20, it's just under 30, so it's 29% that we can save in energy and in carbon. And obviously the financial benefits, we've been able to see overflow of baths. So the damage that does, because it's not just the damage of the bathroom, it's the floor below as well, because obviously the water goes below. So we can see that, we can know what's going on, we have those alerts in real time as well. Then we can obviously use that to help the management team prevent incidents moving forward because of our system in place. And then we can also look at reducing that loss of profit, because obviously then they'd have to take that room out, or the two rooms
for listeners here today, that let's say they have businesses, let's say some of them might have multiple Airbnbs, or they own different properties around the country, or some might even be partners in hotel groups, or they want to integrate ShowerCap into their own lives. How do these savings translate into environmental benefits and financial benefits?
Obviously, you're looking, most hotels now need to do it, but they're looking at a 20% reduction in their water use coming up to 2030. So that helps obviously kind of measure and navigate towards that side of things. You're also then looking at your sustainability and environmental goals that you need to meet for your own reporting each year, which then this helps kind of tick off those boxes. Again, it's all about the local community. If you're seen to be doing your part and contributing to reducing your consumption as well, and easing maybe the stress in your local area, that also helps. Again, it's that time and that empowerment that you're actually giving to your guests and your staff as well, who actually have their own input and their own kind of part to helping this, you know, navigate this water scarcity or reduce your energy use and helping to a net zero future. Financially, obviously, you're reducing your cost ultimately. So you're reducing your energy, your water, you're reducing staff costs because you're not going around and manually doing everything, you're streamlining your processes.
So there's so many pros to this, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Now, with ShowerCap, I've seen that you guys are focusing on hotels and universities. Now, these are two of the biggest water consumers. What makes these partnerships particularly powerful when it comes to scaling your impact?
Yes. As you can see, every litre of water we save has an energy and a carbon footprint. So every litre we use, that's obviously got a massive impact on the area as well. So by reducing and by educating and rolling this out so that it's more commonly aware between either hotel guests or university students, we're hoping that that will have a ripple effect, that you will contain that and you will take it elsewhere with you, and it will continue to be kind of a mantra going forward. If we think that about 5 to 6% of our emissions actually come from heating water or from treating water as well. So it's not just about heating, it's about treating that water as well when it goes out as well.
We almost forget about water once it's gone down the drain. It's out of our eyesight. It's about like, oh, it's gone.
Yeah, but it's not.
We'll open the tap, more's come out again. Yeah, we don't realise that there's a whole process going on.
Yeah, so it goes back in and it goes, gets treated. So you've also got all of that energy expense as well and all those emissions in there. So it's a lot bigger picture. And if we think about that, then 10% of those emissions are for treating that water. And then 90% of that is actually the emissions that we use for the energy to heat that water in our homes and our businesses. So yeah, it's just kind of getting that, again, that shift in that mindset. And if we can start in hotels and in universities where you've got a bigger audience, then we can, yeah, effectively, again, have that ripple effect moving out.
Speaking of these shifts on the front ends and these ripple effects that we're talking about, they start with the person. What surprised you most about how people have responded to these behavioural cues when we're talking about this reduction in shower times from 11 to, let's say, four minutes?
I think everyone's had, who has experienced a nudge, have said it's very positive. We haven't had any negative experiences from this yet, and it's very subtle, so I don't think it's not a shock in any way. And
where do you gather the data from in terms of the user experience?
So we've done research studies with a university out in Colorado, and we've also done obviously the research, well, we'll continue to do research at the moment with the Saman Hotel that we're with at the moment. And it's going to continue. It's a never-ending research and development with technology. So it's continually moving.
Forever tweaking, trying to improve and improve. But for the success of our planet. And on that note, we'll be right back after this short break.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Our Altered World. I'm here with Carly from ShowerCap. We just left off speaking about the integration of ShowerCap in hotels and universities and seeing how their technology looking at shifting behavioral cues through showers has an effect on us as the consumer of water and the way that we consume water and the way that we want to change our global impact with this going forward. Now, Carly, research shows that these feedbacks in hotel showers can reduce shower time by 25%. We just spoke about this reduction of 11 to 4 minutes, but we're talking about reducing the average shower time by over 25%. And we've spoken about research, where that you just mentioned that you did research with Colorado to look into these insights. How are you building on all of this information going forward so that we can create greater water savings? What prospects are we trying to achieve in the long run using this data, and how do we want to build on?
Yeah, so we've already seen that obviously we can reduce by using our technology by 30%. We honestly believe that we could probably achieve a lot more, but that's what we've gained at the moment. And we're still obviously gathering those research and that feedback from guests and from staff. And we're keen to use this to, as I said, to build our behavioural change and mobile application further with our behavioural science. What we want is we want it to be very impactful. We want it to be a positive message. And our goal is to obviously set a new norm, especially for water use in hotels, driving that, as we said, that cultural shift that embeds sustainability in the fabric of hospitality. It It requires buy-in, obviously, from hotels, and not just from industry leaders, but also from the employees, the guests, and the local communities as well. So it is a big undertaking that we've kind of taken on. But ultimately, if we can do this and we can improve our mobile application, then we can build more awareness, we can incentivize for sustainable behaviors, which is key to obviously embedding this for the future, for long-term goals which we're working towards. And if we can achieve this slight 2-degree shift is what we call it, it will actually make a massive difference. It doesn't need to be, you know, the full 360, you could just do a 2-degree and that will be enough.
That sounds amazing. Now, Carly, we spoke at the start of this chat here about the fact that we're currently in a heat wave here in the UK, and we've got hosepipe bans, and we've been told that there's drought in certain areas. Now, this is often now guilt or restriction. You can't use a hosepipe, you can't use your water for this, etc. And these are all what we'd say are negative nudges. But you use positive nudges. What do you think makes this approach more effective in creating this lasting change in behavior? Because I guess we're doing kind of reflective damage control now. We're saying, oh, we've used too much water, stop. What does the flip side of that achieve by saying, actually, stop using so much water gradually?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's all about empowering you, isn't it? And that's the point. You've got to feel that you're empowered to make those choices yourself. And we're giving you the tools to do that and to really make a change. And what I kind of we flip it back to is a bit like what we did with plastic. And that's what we kind of need to do with water. So yes, okay, we don't use plastic straws, right? We don't do that. We recycle our bags. Or, you know, there was the charge that was put onto plastic bags, wasn't there? And that's the sense that we need to kind of embed and instill in water as well. We shouldn't just do it just for plastic. We should do it for everything, really. Reduce our consumption, and then we save those resources for the future.
With your Ripple app, now this provides each user, let's say I've got it on my phone, I've got my personal water usage data on here, and I've got, let's say, rewards or reductions or whatever this interface is for me as a user. How does this visible change my relationship, or how do you hope it's going to start changing people's relationship? It's a kind of like Duolingo for water, yeah. Like with the gamifying aspect that you've mentioned earlier.
Yeah, it's exactly what we're trying to achieve. Yeah. So you set your goals for shorter showers, and then you can get rewarded for making greener choices with points or tokens.
Yeah. And is there like partnerships that you guys are hoping to achieve with other companies through these gamification with reward system? And is this stuff that you're hoping to, that you are working on or looking to work toward?
Yeah, that is definitely what we're looking to achieve, and what we're working towards is to partner up with different collaborators
that we can have a free coffee
or, you know, just little things like that. That's going to make a bit of a difference.
I guess even if people can't see the reward up front, because you can't see, oh, this amount of water that you've saved physically, but you can actually say, oh, I've saved up 5 coins and I can use this towards a coffee or a discount somewhere. And I guess that tangible evidence of your positive impact can make you be like, oh, well, I like that. I want another free coffee. I'm going to cut down on my showers again.
Exactly. Or do a league table and, you know, see what you're doing against your friends. Yeah.
We're really jumping into the competition game now.
Exactly, yeah.
God, I feel like we might get some stinky people being like, actually, I've not showered for a week. I'm winning. No, please don't do that, guys. We're looking to stay clean and save the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, ShowerCap, you've mentioned obviously that you're connected with these hotel university groups. You mentioned a study done in Colorado. Where are you guys currently based out of? What countries and groups are you connected with, and where do you hope to expand outward?
We're based in the UK, in the West Sussex area, in the southeast. But ultimately, we have been kind of working alongside a lot of partners, different partners in obviously US with Colorado State University. We've also working with some hotels and other real estate in the Middle East, because obviously their water consumption, their water uses is
yes, it's very
it's very different.
Volatile landscape at the moment as well. Yeah. Yes, I mean you're in a desert area. You're having a lot of construction. There's a lot of people moving there as well. So there's a prime point, I would say, for Showercap to be involved in.
Yeah, and obviously Europe as well. As you can see, we're all suffering really at the moment from it all. But parts in the Mediterranean are quite hit severely with droughts.
Have you found that the cultural attitudes towards water conservation look different from your work with Showercap in these different regions?
I think everyone has them on different priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say what you're most concerned about, then obviously the Middle East and you know, parts of India, well, India as well,
and Asia
have it a lot higher, and then obviously America, same. Whereas maybe around this area, it's not quite a big concern. So again, it's just making sure that we make people aware.
Looking at this term concern, with these concerning projections and these varying levels of concern, dependent governmentally on where you're based, about water scarcity, what gives you at Showercap the most hope about the ability to solve the crisis through this innovation and behavioural?
Yeah, I think we know when we talk to people that they want to do their part in making and helping have a better future and obviously helping to preserve our resources, because all our natural resources need to be really well looked after to help address the issues that we're having at the moment and what we're going to face in the future. And I think it is very possible. We have the technology, not just in the UK, you know, around the globe, that there's a lot of amazing technology out there that can actually help and change this approach. And what we need to do is we need to make sure that we are collaborative, and collectively together we can actually make these changes and we can have a positive impact, and it can be done.
You might have a listener here who thinks my one shower is not going to make that much of a big impact. What do you say, and what are the common myths about water scarcity or short showers that you still run into? And how do we go about changing those?
Okay, let's have I think what you've got to think about is that water scarcity isn't inevitable. And if we can all make a difference, and even the short, you know, even a small amount of difference, if we all make that small change, as I said, collectively, we can save billions of water just with that one small change. And you can make a difference. Yeah. Even if it's just, you know, a couple of minutes.
I think it's imperfect sustainability done on a global scale, because there is so much that is out of our control. But there is a lot that is actually in our control. And these micro changes done en masse can have cascades of positive effect or negative effect. And it's up to us to decide what direction that we want to go in. So I love that. Looking ahead, where do you see Showercap, let's say in 5 years? What is the vision for the organization in changing how humanity relates to water as this resource, this precious resource?
I think our mission is that kind of our technology is adopted in multiple countries, not just the UK, which is why we're working quite heavily with other, like the Middle East and America at the moment. And to really, for the team to be able to work in those water scarce communities with businesses and with universities, and to really have that change in that model where we're putting user engagement at the heart and ultimately making people aware of how precious our water is and how to value it. It almost needs to look like water needs to be valued like diamonds, isn't it? Really, in the grand scheme of things. And that's how we're kind of looking to,
yeah,
to move.
Drinking a glass full of diamonds isn't really going to help sustain you, is it?
No.
If you could ask every shower taker in the UK one question that's going to get them thinking, what would it be?
Did you know that water waste, including long showers, place extra strain on our sewage system and results in more waste pollution in our seas, so making many beaches unsafe? So yeah, just that slight change and that kind of reducing a consumption can make a huge difference.
I think one thing that I've loved in our conversation is this idea of really reflecting more on our connectivity with our water usage, you know, really seeing the visual impact, the connectivity impact, the figures in our hand, or trying to get that visual aspect, that connection. For me, it was something that I had when I went surfing in Cornwall, and it was the first time I'd surfed in UK seas, and then having to download a pollution app to see where our waste output was happening and affecting the ability for us to even go in and experience our seas. And again, that's a direct result of how we're utilizing water on land. And I was like, whoa, okay, we can't go into this section because there's been a massive pollution spillage. And this happens week in, week out. You have to stay on top of this. Guys, we need to move away from this. We need to move to a space where we don't have water scarcity problems, and we're making pollution problems more and more infrequent rather than frequent. Now, I have loved talking with you today, Carly. What single takeaway would you want our listeners to remember about the link between shorter showers, energy bills, or climate action?
I think that it is to think about how closely water is linked to everything. Yeah, so it's not just about water, it's what we were talking about. It's about the waste, it's about heating of that water, it's about the energy, it's about reducing our impact by reducing our carbon emissions as well. Yes, it's really thinking about water as a bigger picture, not just water.
I love that. You've definitely got me thinking, I tell you that. Where can people learn more about ShowerCap? We've got listeners super excited. They want to get involved. They want to figure more about you guys. They want to look into your app. Where can they find you? And what also is your parting message for anyone looking to make every single drop count?
Yeah, so you can find us at showercap.co.uk. ShowerCap with a K. And we're also on Instagram, which is, I think it's Make Every Drop Count. So if you search for us, Make Every Drop Count on Instagram. And you can also find us on LinkedIn as well, just ShowerCap on there. You can find all our latest posts. We do lots of educational pieces as well, and insights. So it's quite interesting reads if you want to have a look at those articles. And my parting message would be, water scarcity isn't inevitable, but we can change that, and we can all make a difference if we just look at every drop that we use.
Beautifully said, and thank you so much for joining me today, Carly.
Thanks, Neil, for having me, and goodbye to everyone.
And thank you all for listening to Our Altered World today. If you enjoyed the show, I'd love you to visit ouralteredworld.com, where you can join our community and find more information on upcoming shows. You can also find some of my work on social media at Flunking Monkey. And until next time, I hope you all have a great day.